The scripture reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, the epistle to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 in the Pew Bibles, page 1354. Colossians chapter 3. This is the Word of God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Thanks be to God. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open here, and a slight change to the program, so to speak, for what we are doing this morning. I ask you to take up your forms and prayers books as well. Looking ahead, this will help me to stay in sync, or at this point, just a little bit ahead of the catechism classes for the youth. And so we're going to take up with Lord's Day 32. This morning, in the Forms and Prayers books, page 237, and if you don't have one of those, you can find it in the back of this Trinity Psalter hymnal, page 887. So 237 or 887. And you'll note that over this Lord's Day is the heading Gratitude. And just a brief word of explanation for those for whom this may be unfamiliar. What we have in these Lord's Days, there are 52 of them. The historical understanding is that that would help us each of the 52 Sundays of the year. But this is a summary of the Christian life, a summary of what it means to know that you belong to your faithful Savior in body and soul, in life and in death. And if I may just take us for a moment to Lord's Day 1, so that's back on page 201, or going to 202. Basically, it lays out this outline. This outline you get from the book of Romans. How many things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? And it says three. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am delivered from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. All right, so we're taught about our sin, we're taught about our Savior, and we're taught about our life of thankful service. Or we may say guilt, grace in Jesus Christ, and gratitude. And so we come to part three, the section on gratitude, appropriately for Thanksgiving Day, I thought. So I thought we would take this up here at this point. Anyhow, let's carry on. Number 86, page 237, question 86. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ, without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, and that he may be praised through us. And further, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and by our godly living our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? By no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God. So far from what we read in summary of what the Bible teaches, if you're able, keep this open as well. And I hope you're able to keep Colossians chapter 3 open before you too. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Thanksgiving Day, and here we are, gathered together in church. I wonder how many of us like to be told to be thankful. And I wonder if any of us feel that way this morning. Maybe boys and girls, you thought, you know, it's a day off, I could sleep in. And mom and dad said, no, you're coming to church, and you're going to be thankful. I wonder if we ever feel that way about gratitude. I wonder if there are those among us here this morning, or certainly we run into people who have this struggle as well, that we can identify with. It's hard these days. If I reflect upon my own life in terms of how things have gone over the course of this past while, past year and a half, say, you sometimes find Thanksgiving is not easy. Giving thanks to God is not easy. And maybe you can identify. Maybe, boys and girls, you can imagine a situation where you were visiting some special people and you were given a great big piece of pie. And you were digging into that great big piece of pie and your mom said, don't you have anything to say to the nice lady who gave you that great big piece of pie? And you were embarrassed. Your mom was embarrassed, and the nice lady was embarrassed. And so finally you said, thank you. Or even worse, imagine a situation where you kind of grudgingly said, well, thank you. And that's a little awkward, right? That's hardly gratitude. That's not from the heart. How are we to understand gratitude, especially when it's hard? Especially when we have difficulty thinking of reasons to be thankful for. Now, we should know better, of course, but we are helped, I think, in terms of what we have heard together in the Word of God this morning. We were called to worship from Psalm 100, and there was an encouragement, rather a command, enter into his courts with thanksgiving, or into his gates, into his courts with praise. That's a command. We heard it in the little line tucked into the end of Colossians 3, verse 15. And be thankful. And be thankful. It almost sounds like your mother coming to remind you that you should be thankful. And we've read it in the summary of the Bible's teaching about what a life that is saved and redeemed in the Lord Jesus Christ should look like. A life of, with our whole lives, showing we are thankful to God for all of his benefits. Now, what we need to appreciate here is that all of these urgings, these commands, these inducements to praise and thanksgiving are not so much the wagging of the finger or prickly goads that are saying to us, come on, you ungrateful, selfish dud, you should be thankful. But they are invitations. They are the Lord graciously reminding us we do have very, very, very much to be thankful for in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that with our whole lives, with all that we are, with our whole heart, we may show that we are thankful to God for all of His benefits to me, to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Praise the Lord, He forgives all our iniquities, He heals all our diseases. Now, as I've taken a little bit of a different approach, the 4 points on the bulletin are not the ones we'll be following. We're just going to list the questions. This, we're following the format of asking questions. And the word I'm seeking to open for us this morning is asking this question: what does the Bible say about thankfulness? Or how does it help us with a test or the tests for true thankfulness? And then these 5 questions, if you'd like to get them, I'll be saying them as we go along. But the first question: does it root in Jesus Christ? Does it praise God? Does it encourage me in my faith? Does it help my neighbor? And does it show in my obedience? So the first question is, does it root in Jesus Christ? And that's fundamental, isn't it, in terms of being thankful to God? Because if we think about what Thanksgiving Day is, you could ask anyone on the street, what are you thankful for? And everybody could come with a list of things for which to be thankful for. We should be thankful for our health. We should be thankful we still have a job. We can be thankful we have friends and family. Not everybody has all of these things, and maybe they're not thankful for those things, but there are many things, if you think about it, we can be thankful for. We can be thankful that we live in a land where there are freedoms. We are concerned sometimes in terms of how that goes, and it's not my place to open that can of worms here. Let's be thankful for what we do have and find ways to be thankful. But all of those things, as appropriate as that kind of gratitude is, are not ultimate and utter thanksgiving. I think of what the book of Romans says in terms of how we all were by nature. And Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, speaking about what we were by nature, 1 verse 19, what may be known of God is manifest in them, that's in everybody by nature, God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we're speaking about the blessing of God's glorious creative work that we were singing about in Psalm 33. Verse 21 of Romans 1. Because although they knew God, everybody knows there's God in their heart of hearts. God has placed eternity in everyone's hearts. They know God. But it said, but the Bible says, but they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. And so apart from Jesus Christ, the inclination of every one of us is to suppress the truth. We may say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, but we're not thankful to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blessing of true thankfulness, to know God in Jesus Christ with our whole lives, to thank God for all of His benefits to me in Jesus Christ, to be able to say, I'm in God's gracious care and keeping because of Jesus Christ. I have everything to be thankful for. And I think that is a fundamental help in times, especially when we're struggling to be thankful. And we're racking our brains because of the overwhelming sense of difficulty we may find ourselves in. And then, at the very least, we may be able to say, but I have Jesus. And I see from all of these difficulties that I need Jesus. And I'm in good hands because I come to the Father through Jesus. And true thankfulness, therefore, rests in Jesus. Psalm 37, verse 16, better the little that the righteous man has than the riches of many wicked. If you have Jesus, you have everything. And that's our encouragement here. So we, by God's grace, are enabled to give thanks because we have riches. The riches of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. Despite everything else, we have hope and confidence in Jesus Christ. Now, we need to be careful here, as believers gathered here this morning, that we not develop a spirit of haughty pride and say, well, at least we know how to give thanks, and we know the true reason of thanksgiving. We should not have the spirit of that Pharisee that Jesus spoke about in his parable in Luke chapter 18. I thank you, God. I'm not like those other men. I fast 3 times a week. I give of all that I have to the poor and all of those things. He is listing all of the things that God should be thankful to him for. We're not like that. We must not be like that. We should be amazed by the wonder of God's grace. It roots in Jesus Christ. Let me just highlight, I think, what is an important point in how everything roots in Jesus. I'm sure you heard it in our reading of Colossians 3, and you see it in the summary of the Bible's teaching in this Lord's Day. So we're beginning to talk about gratitude to God for so great a salvation, how I'm to thank God to do for that. And so we're asking the question, why should we do good works? And the opening words of the answer is, because Christ. Christ having redeemed us by his blood, that's a given. Christ has redeemed us by his blood. So we are forgiven of our sins. We stand right with God. It's what Christ has done for us. And then the answer goes on, and it speaks about what Christ continues to do in us. This same Christ who has delivered us is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image. So not only do I have peace with God to be thankful for, I have the confidence that Jesus is with me. And Jesus, by the power of his resurrection, helps me and enables me, even in times when I'm weak and frail and struggle even thinking about how to be thankful and to be more thankful, but Jesus Christ is renewing me by his Spirit. Even in spite of our weaknesses, right? When we are weak, then are we strong. God's grace is magnified in our weakness. We see our deep need for Jesus, and we give all glory to Jesus. It focuses on him. So the second question, after does it root in Jesus Christ, does it praise God? And again, the emphasis here is on the glory and praise of God. Just at Colossians 3, the last verse we read, 3 verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we may begin to live lives that are dedicated, devoted to the praise of God. So as Jesus works in us by his Spirit, the so that is, the purpose for all of this is that, we read here in the Catechism, our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits and that he may be praised through us. Why are we here? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. It's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Why are we to do our good works before men? As Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 14 and 15, so that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God deserves all praise and glory. Why did God save us? Why did he bring us from out of darkness into his marvelous light? When once we were not a people, and now we are the people of God. When once we had not known mercy, and now we have known mercy. So that, 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, we may show forth his praises. We may declare his praises. We may say, God is glorious. God is good. Does it praise God? Now, and here's the difficulty and the challenge with regard to these invitations, these commands of the Lord to thankfulness. There may be a sense in which we have this feeling, well, I'm not nearly as thankful as I should be. I'm not praising God as much as I need to be. Well, I would say that's a given. And I would also say that the encouragement here is not to make us feel more guilty. Encouragement here is to be in awe of what God has done and rejoice in that. John Piper, in several of his books, he speaks of the danger of a debtor's ethic, a debtor's ethic, so that we say, well, God, you've done so much for me, and now I'm in debt to you, and I've got to pay you back. That's a debtor's ethic. And that leaves us with a sense of guilt and guiltiness in terms of, I'm never quite thankful enough. I can never praise God enough. Well, no, you can't. That's right. But Piper's illustration, one of his illustrations for this, is that you find yourself alongside of a beautiful, cool, refreshing mountain stream. How do you show thankfulness for that beautiful, cool, refreshing stream? You don't show thankfulness by going getting a rusty old bucket and dipping it into the little mud puddle that's beside the stream and pour that into the mountain stream. That doesn't show thankfulness. You get into the, you give thanks for the cool mountain stream by lapping it up, taking in and drinking and resting in what's been given. And so the Bible also says, Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the flip side of that is this truth. By God's grace, through faith, it's possible to please God. And because we know where we stand in Jesus Christ, Christ has redeemed us by his blood. Christ is working in us by his Spirit. We know that we want to praise God. We know that we don't do it perfectly. What shall I render to you for all of your benefits to me? Lord, I struggle to do it well and to do it properly, but thanks be to God, you don't have to feel guilty for that. You may give that to God too. And maybe a way of understanding this, I'm speaking to grandparents here. It's not just for grandparents or would-be grandparents. When the little grandchildren finally learn how to say grandpa or opa, opa's easier to say, you should keep that in mind. Opa, you are thrilled. You are thrilled, even if you can hardly make it out. And even if the little baby is just lisping along, or when you see your little one begin to teeter and totter and take their first steps, even if they fall down a number of times. You are delighted because of your heart of love for your child. And understand that when we're in Christ, forgiven in Christ, right with God, and Christ is at work in us, God is pleased with the feeblest of our efforts, stained with sin as they are. Even our best works are imperfect and stained with sin. And even the holiest in this life have only a small beginning of the obedience God requires of us. But God is pleased. God delights in our desire to show thankfulness to him with our whole life in everything we do. So does it praise God? Next question, does it encourage me in my faith? Does it encourage me in my faith? When you are ungrateful, when you are bitter, when you are anxious, When our lives are overwhelmed with sort of looking around us and saying, the sky is falling, are you grateful? Are you helped? Are you encouraged? The Catechism, summarizing the Bible's teaching, says, we are assured of our faith by its fruits. You know that when you live in reckless disobedience, there's no way you can be sure of your faith. You find yourself doubting and confused and sad. And Colossians helps us in terms of the things we need to get rid of. Colossians 3, verse 5, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8, now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Put off the old man with his deeds. All of these things haven't helped us, right? When we've gone in these directions, we haven't been thankful. We haven't felt a sense of peace. Put those things away. And here are the encouragements, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In terms of what we're to put on. Verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, remember who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has chosen you in his mercy, not because of anything that you've done. God says you are holy because you are in the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are beloved. God says he loves you. So, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. These are the things we do. And these are the ways in which we find ourselves encouraged, right? By God's grace, when you're seeking to do these things, seeking his help, acknowledging I need Jesus, a life is much more thankful, much more peaceful, at peace with God. So it encourages us in our faith. The thankfulness that I have is a great encouragement. Question 4, does it help my neighbor? Does it help my neighbor? Does my neighbor benefit from my anger, from my frustration, from my fear, from my sense as I look around that the sky is falling? No. We're to be those who encourage one another. Colossians 3, verse 16, our closest neighbors are right here among us as part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we say to one another, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We've been doing that here this morning. It's an encouragement to stand shoulder to shoulder and to sing praises to God. And that blesses the neighbor. That's a blessing. And Paul goes on, I would just dip into chapter 4 of Colossians, where he asks for continued prayer for his ministry, but also says that not only is he to be ready to speak, Colossians 4, verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, he speaks of our responsibility to be a blessing to our neighbor. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. When we live in thankfulness, there is a graciousness. We are forgiving, even as Christ forgave us. By God's grace, we look for and we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ a spirit, an attitude. You would say an attitude of gratitude that is seen and felt so that our neighbors see there is something different about us. And our opportunity is to say, well, what's different about me is Jesus. It's not me. It's God's grace. It's the grace that God has for sinners. And therefore, our encouragement here to thankful lives of devotion to God, as end of answer 86 says, so that by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ. By God's grace, thankful devotion in our lives is seen in such a way that we are winsome people. People recognize God is doing something, and I need to know about that. Maybe you've had that experience, that people say something, I see something in your life, and I want what you have. By God's grace, that is what we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, there is a way to hear this and feel overwhelmed with our failings. And I don't want anybody to go home guilty. I want everybody to go home looking to Jesus and being thankful. Right? The way Colossians 3 verse 17 ends. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Through Him. It's because of Him. It's in Him. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in glory. You died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's all this blessing we enjoy in Christ. So the last question, very briefly, does it show in my obedience? And I just want to pick up the sort of challenging words that were left us at the end of this Bible summary here. Question 87, can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? And it really shows us we must come to Christ. Everybody must come to Christ. Repent and believe. And it's very plain when it says, Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God. And we may comfortably think to ourselves, well, that is a list of some pretty serious sins. Here's a rogue's gallery of unrepentant people. But if you see that these are quotations from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and if you have listened carefully from what we read together, in Colossians chapter 3, when we were told of all those things we were to put off, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Verse 7 says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. This is a description of us. This is a description of me, apart from the grace of God. This is a description of me outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shows in our lives that we desire to please God, that we want to turn from our sins, and we look to God for the blessing and help to do that. And that does a number of things. It gives glory to God, it encourages us in our faith, and it is used of God to win our neighbor to Christ. To Christ. All glory goes to Christ. So I want to encourage us that by God's grace, it will show. I want us to go from here thankful for Jesus, for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. And we thank You that because we have Jesus, we know that we have everything for which to be thankful. There are so many other things that we can speak about and should speak about with each other and to You about what we're thankful for. We should speak in our families of how we're thankful for each other. We should speak in the church of how we're thankful for each other. Speak to our neighbors. Speak to our colleagues at work. But we thank You, Father, that we may do that and have every reason to be thankful because we know Jesus. Lord, if You did not spare Your own Son, delivered Him up for us all, we know that along with Him You shall freely give us every good thing. And so You have. Every blessing we know is in, through, and because of Jesus. We pray that You would enable us to be so glad about how rich we are in Jesus, that it shows. It shows in our repentance. It shows in our humility. That it shows in our love and patience, in our prayerfulness, in our dependence, in our desire to be a blessing. We pray that You will bless us in all of our giving of thanks, that we may glorify You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.